All right, turn in your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 15. Numbers chapter 15. Numbers chapter 15. Before we read, would you please join with me in prayer and ask the Lord to speak to all of our hearts? I'd ask every person in this building this morning that you would ask God to speak to you. And ask God that He would help me to try to say what needs to be said this morning. All right, let's pray together. Father, we bow before You, thankful for the privilege to stand and preach. Lord, we feel there is a warfare going on even as we try to preach in my heart and mind today. But I pray that You'd give us liberty and give us victory. We come in the name of Jesus this morning. We plead His blood, and I pray that You'd speak to every heart in this building. No matter what the needs are, no matter who they are, where they're from, I pray that You'd meet the need of every one of our hearts today. Open our eyes, God, convict those that may be in our midst lost and undone, and save them before it's eternally too late. Lord, touch the individual that may be saved but are straying from You. Lord, deal with hearts. May faith in us, in Thy Word and in Thy truth, may it strike fear in us, even as it did Noah, who, being moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. I pray we'd be moved by the fear of the judgment and the wrath of God to come, that we might get right with You, whether we be saved or lost, whoever it may be or whatever the needs may be. God, please, I pray that we would have faith in Your word and truth. And again, Lord, it would move us by fear to we would do what You would have us to do and get right with You today. And Father, for what You do, we'll thank You for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Numbers chapter 15 in verse 32. And while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man that gathered sticks upon the Sabbath day. And they that found him gathering sticks brought him unto Moses and Aaron and unto all the congregation. And they put him in ward. In other words, they locked him up because it was not declared what should be done to him. And the Lord said unto Moses, the man shall be surely put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp. And all the congregation brought him without the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died as the Lord commanded Moses. And we'll stop reading. Now, as you think about the event that we just read, I hope that it catches our attention to begin with. This man was, they found this man out gathering sticks, just picking up sticks. And the individuals that found him picking up sticks, they brought him to Moses and Aaron. And Moses and Aaron thought that what he had done was grievous enough that they would lock him up until they heard from God to find out what kind of punishment, if anything, should be done to this man who was picking up sticks. They went before God, apparently, and God said, the whole congregation should take this man that was picking up sticks outside the camp and stone him with stones until he is dead. And so all the congregation brought him without the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died, the Bible says. I don't know about you, but I think that would be a hard way to go. Can you imagine what it would be like for a grown men or grown women to stand around you with probably rocks the size, somewhere around the size of a baseball or a softball, somewhere around in there, and throw them at you until you're dead as a result of that? Being hit in the head and the body and bleeding to death. Hopefully one would knock you out pretty quick and then you'd die while you was unconscious and wouldn't have to suffer too long. But could you imagine being stoned to death over picking up sticks? I'd like to preach a message this morning on the price of picking up sticks. This man gave his life as a result of what he was doing. Apparently, in his eyes, there was nothing wrong with the event that took place. There was nothing wrong with the deed that he was doing. There was nothing wrong with him picking up sticks. But listen, there are a lot of people in this world today that see nothing wrong with what they're doing. But the key to this is, if it goes against what God has said, then you're going to pay a price for picking up sticks. Man's idea is, we look at this and we see nothing wrong with it. And a lot of times, the ideas of us as individuals, I don't see anything wrong with what I'm doing. I don't care what anybody else says. I don't see anything wrong with it. And a lot of times we'll ask other people, do you see anything wrong with this? Or other people will look at what we're doing and they won't see anything wrong with it, or at least they won't say anything about it. But you know one thing, and you better get this down out of this text of Scripture. If you go against what God has said, I don't care what you think about it. It don't matter what I think about it. It doesn't matter what your friends think about it. It doesn't matter what mama or daddy thinks about it. It doesn't matter what your children thinks about it. It makes no difference what man thinks about it. If God said it's wrong, then you're going to pay a price for breaking the law of God. You're going to pay a price for it. It's not what men say that counts. You're not going to stand before me one day. You're not going to stand before anybody else in this congregation or anybody else in the world. You're going to stand before a thrice holy God, and you're going to give an account to Him one day. And unfortunately, what mankind has looked at and says, there's nothing wrong with that, you're going to think different when you pay the price for picking up your sticks. Why is this so bad? In the context, why would God say that a man picking up sticks is going to cost him his life and a violent death? And why should the whole congregation raise up against one individual and stone him with stones until he dies? What would be so bad as to cause a man to do that? I believe the answer to that is in the context of this, and I'll say before I get into the context that you probably already realize that it's not the act of picking up sticks that was his sin, but it was doing it on the Sabbath day. That was the problem. He went out and he broke God's law in picking up these sticks on the Sabbath day. Now let's look back in the context of this chapter and see why what this man did was so important. If you'll look back all the way to verse 17 with me, let's read this text down to where we were. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when you come into the land whither I bring you, then it shall be that when ye eat of the bread of the land, ye shall offer up an heave offering unto the Lord. Ye shall offer up a cake of the first of your dough for an heave offering, as ye do the heave offering of the threshing floor, so shall ye heave it. Of the first of your dough ye shall give unto the Lord an heave offering in your generations. And if ye have erred... and not observed all these commandments which the Lord hath spoken unto Moses, even all that the Lord hath commanded you by the hand of Moses from the day that the Lord commanded Moses, and henceforward among your generations. Now listen to this. Then it shall be, if aught or anything be committed by, and here is a word I want you to notice, by ignorance, without the knowledge of the congregation, that all the congregation shall offer one young bullock for a burnt offering, for a sweet savor unto the Lord, and with his meat offering and his drink offering according to the manner, and one kid of the goats for a sin offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for all the congregation of the children of Israel, and it shall be forgiven them, for it is what? Ignorance. And they shall bring their offering, a sacrifice made by fire unto the Lord, and their sin offering before the Lord for their, what? Ignorance. And it shall be forgiven all the congregation of the children of Israel and the stranger that sojourneth among them, seeing all the people were in what? Ignorance. And if any soul sin through ignorance, then he shall bring a she-goat to the first year for a sin offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for the soul that sinneth ignorantly, when he sinneth by ignorance before the Lord, to make an atonement for him, and it shall be forgiven him. Ye shall have one law for him that sinneth through ignorance, both for him that is born among the children of Israel, and for the stranger that sojourneth among them. So let's stop there. You know what God said? If you sin and it's in ignorance, there is a sacrifice, an atonement that can be made for that, and you can be forgiven. In other words, if this man had been picking up sticks in ignorance somehow, then there could have been forgiveness for this man. There could have been mercy for this man. And the Apostle Paul reminds us of that in the New Testament, where he talks about doing things in ignorance, and the Lord had mercy on him because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. But let's look at verse 30. But, he said, that is, on the other hand, the soul that doeth aught presumptuously, whether he be born in the land or a stranger, doesn't matter. The same reproacheth the Lord, and that soul shall be cut off from among his people, because he hath despised the word of the Lord and hath broken his commandment. That soul shall utterly be cut off. His iniquity shall be upon him. And while the children of Israel are in the wilderness, he begins to start in on the story that we just read. You know what that tells me, and what I believe out of this text? I believe the story of the man paying a price for picking up sticks is an illustration of what he's just been talking about. He said the man that does what he does in ignorance shall have mercy, and there is a way that he can be forgiven. But the man that sins presumptuously, in other words, he knows better and he does it anyway, that man shall not have any mercy whatsoever, but he shall be cut off. And then he tells us about a man who goes out on the Sabbath day knowing that he shouldn't do it, and he picks up sticks and they catch him doing it, and they take him out and they stone this man until he is dead. You say, preacher, that's under the law. I agree with you. That is under the law, but I want you to understand that this principle of the presumptuous sin, and I've dealt with this before, I preached along these lines before, but I'd like to use this man as an illustration of it. I believe that the truths of that still apply in this hour. Not that we should take men out and stone them to death. I'm not trying to preach that. That was under the law. But I believe that there are individuals in this day and hour that may be sitting on the pews of this church this very morning. And listen, I'm not preaching to the crowd on the outside. I'm preaching to the crowd on the inside today. And there may be some that are going against what God has to say. And you know better than what you're doing. You know that what you're living is not right. And you're continuing to do that and go against what God said. And in your eyes, what you're doing is okay. But I want you to know that there's going to be a price to pay for you picking up your sticks one day. Why is this presumptuous sin so bad? And you say, well, I'm doing it in ignorance. Listen, ignorance is not going to be an excuse of any individual in this congregation. We've had more light here in America and even in this part of the country, the Bible Belt, than multitudes around us. multitudes around us. We've got light on every corner. We got a Bible on every shelf in our house. We've heard more preaching and teaching and had more praying and people to love us and godly examples before us. There is no way we'll stand before God and say, I just didn't know. There's no way. No way. Ignorance will be no excuse. So I want us to examine a couple of things in this text of Scripture that this man had to do in order to commit a sin, a presumptuous sin that he lost his life for. Number one, he went against the commandments of God. God had specifically given commandments concerning the Sabbath day in Exodus 20 in verse 10. Here's what he said. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. This text of Scripture in Exodus says that you're not to do any work on the Sabbath day. That includes picking up sticks. When this man left his tent that morning to go out and begin to pick up those sticks on the Sabbath day, he knew the command of God. And I'll show that to you in just a little while. But he knew the command of God. He knew he wasn't supposed to do it. But in essence, he despised what God had said and he went and did it anyway. He in essence said, I don't care what God said, I'm just going to do it anyway. I'm just going to go ahead and pick my sticks up. It's all right. There ain't nothing wrong with picking up a few sticks. I mean, I ain't going to do much work. Ain't nothing wrong with this. And he may have asked somebody on his way out, you reckon it'd be all right if I just went and picked a few sticks up, build me a little fire today? Oh, yeah, ain't nothing wrong with that. That crowd that believes what Moses said, they're just old fogies. They're just old fashioned. You don't have to go by what God said. And so he disobeyed the very commands of God and he goes out and starts picking up sticks. Do you know what happens to those that know the commands of God and yet go break them anyway? I promise you one thing. The judgment of God and the wrath of God is going to be worse on them than it is on those who do things in ignorance. You can mark that down. America, when God begins, and I believe He's already started, if God were to judge America today, we're going to have a worse judgment than Sodom and Gomorrah even, because had Sodom and Gomorrah had a Bible and had the light and had the preaching and knew the commands of God like America does, Sodom and Gomorrah might still be here today. But America has rejected the commands of God, and individuals in our churches and across our land today, they're ignoring what thus saith the Lord, and they're committing the presumptuous sin by doing so. They know what God said, but they're going to do what they want to anyway. And I'm just here to tell you there's going to be a price to pay for that. And it's going to be far beyond that which you want to pay. And I just beg the Holy Ghost to God this morning that He would ring out every one of our hearts. I dare say there's nobody in here that doesn't need the message this morning in some form or fashion. We think that everything that we're doing is just okay. But if we'd just get back to what God had to say, we'd find out that we're not quite as holy as we thought we were. The commands of God and the wrath of God is going to be greater upon those that know better than those who don't know better. You say, can you prove that? Well, the Bible says that the individual who has been given much, of him much shall be required. And every person in this building, you know what's right and wrong because you've heard enough Bible to know. And you just continue your way and you just ignore what God has to say. I don't care. You say, well, preacher, I'm not doing anything really all that bad. Hey, if you're going against what God said, you are still breaking God's commandment and you're committing a presumptuous sin. Ignorance will be no excuse. Number two, his conscience. There was no doubt something in this man's mind and heart that just told him not to do it. It's that inborn sense of right and wrong. And do you know what? Every man that's ever been born into this world has been born with a sense of right and wrong. God has given you a conscience. He's given you a sense of right and wrong. And listen, when you were young and tender, when you would violate that, maybe you'd tell a lie or something, or you'd just do something that you didn't even think was right. It bothered you. Something just bothered you, and you knew you wasn't supposed to do that. You'd go to do something and it bothered you the first time you ever did it. You think about in this world, as we go back, and I hate to go back to my past. I'm ashamed of some of the things that I've done. And I wouldn't want to tell you some of the things that I've done. But I can tell you this, before I was saved, when I'd go to do them, I still knew they weren't right. Something on the inside of me said, you know this ain't right. But you know what happens? You go against that conscience that God's given you. And it bothers you, and you look around and see who's watching. And you wonder who's heard about what you've done or who's seen you doing what you were doing. And it, man, it bothered you. And it kind of haunted you maybe for a little while. But then the next time, the next opportunity came up. And you know what happened? You thought, well, I already done it one time. Ain't going to hurt to do it again now. I already been guilty now. Ain't gonna hurt nothing. And so it was easier the second time. Yep. Yes, you know what was happening? You were searing your conscience. Yep. Exactly right. You were hardening your heart. And you go sin that time, and before you know it, you don't care who's looking and who knows it. You're just living in open sin, and it don't bother you anymore. And you know what's happening? Your window, the window of conscience, is becoming defiled, and there's not as much light getting in now. It's become dirty and defiled. The Bible tells us about our conscience. It talks about a pure conscience in 2 Timothy 1:3. It talks about a defiled conscience in Titus 1:15. It talks about a seared conscience in 1 Timothy 4:2. In other words, I believe there comes a time when your conscience can become seared like a hot iron. Just sears it and seals it, and it becomes numb. I know something about fire. I got my leg tore up and got burned up on my leg here with a motorcycle wreck. And to this day, I can't stand for anybody to rub that or touch that area right there on my leg. I just can't, because it's numb like from that damage that's been done there. And that's what happens with a conscience. It becomes numb like. It becomes seared. And the Bible talks about a good conscience in 1 Timothy 1:19. It talks about an evil conscience in Hebrews 10:22. But listen, even sinners have a conscience. Listen to what Romans 2 says. For when the Gentiles which have not the law. In other words, there was a crowd in that day. You were either Jew or Gentile. The Jews had the law of God, the commands of Moses, what God had given the Jews. But everybody else, they didn't know the commands of God. They didn't know what God said. They didn't know the Ten Commandments. But here's what he said. For when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, here it is, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. You know what it says? Even those who don't break the commandments because they don't know the commandments. Even those who have never heard, thus saith the Lord, or ever heard the laws of God, they have been given a conscience. The law of God has been written in their hearts. And the Bible tells us that in that text of Scripture that they even by nature do the things that are written in the law. You go to these heathen lands and they have a moral code of conduct of some sort. There's even some things that the heathen won't even do. How did they learn that? How do they know that? I'll tell you how they learned it. I'll tell you how they know it. Because God put a conscience on the inside of them. I think about one of my children when she was just a little old bitty thing growing up. She wouldn't have to do anything. Nothing. I mean, it would be nothing to me. And I'd be in there in my study. And she'd come through the doors of that study. And she'd say, Daddy, something's bothering me. And she'd confess what she had done. And I mean, I'd look at her and I'd think, that ain't nothing. I mean, that I wouldn't even have thought twice about that. But you know what that has shown me? That conscience was tender and it was pure and it was undefiled, and she would just come in there, and I mean, she'd confess everything. Every little thing, whether it was big or small, if it bothered her. And I'd tell her, honey, you don't have to confess to me. The Lord's the one you need to talk to about it. But it just emphasized to me just how tender and how pure and innocent that conscience is. Now, I'm not saying she was born in innocence or anything like that. Don't get me wrong. But I could see that conscience that God had put inside of her at work in her mind and heart. And every single person in this building was like that at one time. You had an undefiled, a clean, a clear conscience, but over time, you have sinned against that conscience just like this man did. He not only sinned against the commandments, but he sinned against his own conscience when he went out there to pick those sticks up. And you know what happens over time? That conscience becomes harder and harder and harder and harder. And it's easier and easier and easier. And before you know it, those little things that used to bother you, they don't bother you no more. You know what a lot of us probably ought to do today is get in this altar and say, God, please wipe my conscience clean one more time. So that if I say any small little thing to hurt somebody's feelings, that my conscience would bother me so much that I'd have to go and get that thing right. So that, Lord, if I just do anything that would hurt my testimony to somebody, that I'd go get that thing right. It might just be we need God to come in this morning and get the window cleaner out. And just start cleaning the window of our conscience and get that filth and grime off of it. So that we can be tender to the Spirit of God and tender to the Word of God. And just listen to what God has to say to us. Listen, when your conscience becomes to a point of sin and sin and sin, friend, that you are embarrassed. Bad trouble. This man, it brought him to the place where he lost his life. And there's going to be men and women who lose their soul through all eternity. This man was part of the children of Israel. And yet, he lost his life because he sinned against the commands of God and he sinned against his conscience. How many times have you went to do something and there's just something that told you not to do it? Even before you got saved. Hey, I know the Holy Ghost of God does that on the inside of us, but He works through our conscience, I believe. But how many times, even before you got saved, you knew you were going to steal that. You knew you were going to commit that sin, whatever it was. And something just said, don't do it. You know better than that. Don't do it. It's not going to be worth it. And just go on, sin against your conscience. The Holy Spirit of God works through that conscience. Now I want to ask you a question. If our conscience keeps us in check and there's something that just tells us don't do it, what are we doing? Are we just keeping on, and have we got to the place where now those words, don't do it, don't come anymore? Those words, don't go there. Don't commit that. Don't do that. And now it's got to the place where we don't even pay it any attention. We got so used to the word that comes to mind is disdaining. Disdaining that voice, counting it unworthy of notice. And we've sinned against it so much now that we can just do what we want to and we don't hear that voice anymore. I've got 4 or 5 more points that I feel like I thought I was going to try to get through, but I feel like I'm through. I just wonder in this building, in this congregation, how many individuals you've sinned so much against your conscience that you're in danger now of paying a price for your sin. One of these days it's going to be too late. One of these days it's going to be over. You harden your heart against God, and it'll be worse than a stoning. sin always, always, always has a price. It always has a price. And it's a price you're going to pay. And you look at it and you say, I don't see anything wrong with it. But it's not what we think. It's what God said that's important. Let's stand our feet this morning. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed today, the more you sin against your conscience, the easier it gets. And I want you to know something. It is the deception of the devil to lead you down this pathway. It is the deception of the devil to lead you down and coax you down this pathway to where your conscience becomes so hardened that you're untouchable. While these are praying this morning, maybe you need to step out from where you are, make your way to this altar, and get your heart life right with God.